Welcome to Gear Vlogs Automotive Podcast. I'm your host, Mario Gear, where I share my enthusiasm for all topics automotive. Welcome to the Gear Vlogs Automotive Podcast, episode 32. In today's podcast, I talk about MG's 100th anniversary, iconic brand reborn after nearly death. Tesla co-founder J.B. Scroble is coming back to the board as a board member. Tesla workers share sensitive images recorded by customer cars. Electrogenic drop-in kit transforms the classic Porsche 911 into an EV. Lightyear goes back in business after restructuring caused by bankruptcy, and Walmart to launch a coast-to-coast EV fast charging network across thousands of stores. If this is your first time here, thanks for clicking this play button. I'm Mario Gear, and I've been in the automotive industry for well over 15 years, and I'm here sharing my enthusiasm for all things automotive. Let's get into the story. Our first story, MG's 100th anniversary, iconic brand reborn after near death. The MG brand is on a tear globally. It looks poised to become the first Chinese brand to grow into a major global player on par volume-wise with such companies as Hyundai and Nissan. As Bruce Quayle crossed a street in downtown Paris last month, a vehicle with a familiar octagonal badge caught his eye as it passed, says Quayle. It's a normal-looking crossover, but it's got MG badges on the front and back. His reaction, that's an MG. In the 43 years since the last MGB Roadster came to America, everything has changed for MG, so much so that, like what Quayle experienced in Paris, MG is no longer recognized to its former American dealers, customers, and fans as it begins its second century. The names Quayle and MG are linked in the automotive history. In 1947, Bruce's father, Kajel Quayle, helped ignite the British sports car craze in America when he became the West Coast distributor of the brand of affordable, fun-to-drive, lightweight roadsters. Masterful promotion coupled with an emphasis on providing parts and service kicked off a sales boom for MG and other British sports cars such as Triumph, Austin Healey, that spread from California and went nationwide. Annual sales in the U.S., MG's largest market, peaked at nearly 35,000 in 1977, according to data from historian David Knowles. The ride lasted until the fall of 1980 when the vulnerable MGB went out of production and was never replaced in the U.S. Though historians disagree on MG's exact beginnings, it's been 100 years since the first MG sports cars were conceived. There are several commemoration markings the anniversary scheduled in England this spring and summer. But the only thing today MGs have in common with the beloved classic sports car of the past are the stylized MG inside the brand's famous octagonal logo. MG has been owned by Chinese automaker, first Nanjing Automobile, and now SEC Motors for nearly 20 years. MGs are no longer made in Great Britain, though some advanced design and engineering work is done in London studio. Quayle, who sells Alfa Romeo, Volkswagen, Maserati, Audi vehicles in four Central Florida dealerships, says, I know the Chinese had the name, but I didn't know what they were doing with it. SAIC ownership, a comeback. The MG brand is on a tear globally. It looks poised to become one of the first Chinese brands to grow into a major global player. As a result, SAC pumping untold billions into MG. There are more MG-badged vehicles sold in more countries than at any time in the brand's 100 history. MG is among the top 10 selling brands in 20 countries in Europe, South America, and Asia. In 2022, more than 660,000 MGs were sold globally, a record for the brand. MG is also successful in North America. It is among Mexico's most popular brands, outselling even Hyundai and Ford in recent months. In February, MG was Mexico's eighth best-selling brand, according to Mexico's Institute I can't even pronounce that stuff. Keep going. In January, an MG compact crossover called the HS was Britain's top-selling vehicle, the first time in MG history that any of its models topped the sales chart there. Under SAIC, it has been recast as a wide-ranging value brand. The MG lineup consists of a broad range of vehicles from the Comet, a two-seat electric microcar available in India, to the V80, an 11-passenger van offered in Southeast Asia. There's even an MG-badged pickup, the Extender, also sold in Southeast Asia markets such as the Philippines and Thailand. MGs are contemporary looking, not retro styling. They're built with whatever safety and emission equipment each market requires, along with high-tech features such as hybrid and electric powertrains, navigation systems, large colorful screens, infotainment systems, and other features. That, to America, MG fans at least, might seem out of place. Under previous corporate owners, MG was never among the leader in introducing new technology. GM connection. SAC had help with developing some of MG's current platforms and technologies from an unlikely partner, General Motors. GM and SAC co-own PayTech, the Pan-Asian Technical Automotive Center in Shanghai. Some MG and GM vehicles share a co-development 1.5-liter engine internally referred to as the SGE. That is tuned specifically for each brand. And some vehicles, such as the Chevrolet Captiva and the Indian market MG Hector, as well as the Chevrolet Cruze and MG5, are based on the same underpinnings, according to Car News China. The SAC GM connection also includes production of Chevrolet, Buick, and Cadillac, and Wuling and Bojun brand vehicles made southwestern China in a different joint venture. The only type of vehicle missing from MG's lineup is one of the brand's remains most famous for, a two-seat convertible sports car. Next week at the Shanghai Auto Show, SAIC is expected to show the production version of a battery electric two-seat roadster that in concept form has been calling the Cybster. The first thing MG sports car since 1995 could launch in Europe, China, and elsewhere in 2024, possibly named the MG CEV. That begs the question, is MG the import brand America loved first, ready to return to the U.S.? The answer, no. We currently have no plans to sell vehicles in the U.S., Joyce Ying, SAIC spokesperson or spokeswoman in China, told Automotive News in an email. A recent interview with an executive vice president of SAIC International in the China Daily gives an insight into SAIC's global strategy. At SAIC, We don't bite more than we can chew. We respect every market and every customer, he told the newspaper. We tried to do better our products and services in existing markets and avoid overreaching ourselves by entering too many destinations. One of the most important ingredients of SIAC's success in overseas markets, he added, is to offer competitive products based on an understanding of local customer demands. At least one industry analyst says MG's successful global expansion doesn't mean a return to the U.S. someday is imminent, even with a sports car as a halo vehicle. The U.S. market is getting more complicated, said Stephanie Brindley, principal automotive analyst at S&P Global Mobility. Because MG has been gone from the U.S. for decades, its previous success in the U.S. won't mean much to today's buyers, she says. If MG were to return to the U.S. with the same strategy that has made the brand successful globally, the vehicle would likely be priced slightly lower than Hyundai and Kia models and could stake a claim as a value brand. But even that would be a difficult strategy to execute successfully, Brindley says. What MG can't do is just offer a low-priced vehicle that doesn't have the safety equipment and features consumers want, she added. If MG can figure out a way to offer technology and a cheaper price than the competition, there may be an opportunity here for the brand, but I'm not sensing that is a priority right now, she said. Qualval isn't sure how the recast MG brand would fare today in the U.S. The competition is so immersed, though I'm not familiar with the quality of the car, so anything is possible. The power of a company, SIAC, is that big, can make a lot of things happen, Qualval said from his office in Boca Raton, Florida. The brand name, to me, is the problem. What does it mean to those under 60? I'm not sure. MG could come back, no questions about it. But it has to focus as far as the sector it goes in and the pricing. If the cars are good, MG has a chance. But it is still an uphill battle, Qualval said, added. It's unclear how political tensions between the U.S. and China could affect consumer attitude towards the brand. In MG showrooms around the world, SIAC plays up the brand's British heritage with posters of classic MGs, and it is frequently referred to as MG as being the Morris garages, where the initials MG originated. Qualval notes that most Americans know their cell phones are made in China, and that doesn't affect sales. Loyal fans, some automotive love affairs die hard, even though MG customers from the early 80s and before are not young drivers anymore. They still love the brand, even the cars MG never sold here. Ken DeLeo, a retired UPS driver from Michigan who lives in West Palm Beach, Florida, runs a Facebook group dedicated to MG owners who have imported MG sports cars made in the 90s. Vehicles that are 25 years old or older can be imported and legally registered in most states. The group's members live in 24 states and have more than 70 MGs, mostly of the MGF sports cars that was popular in Europe from 1995 to 2005, but not offered in the U.S. I was in Chile before COVID and stood next to an MG3. It was like $7,900. I loved it, said DeLeo Wu. who owns three MGFs, one from 96 and two from 98. I would probably be a buyer if MG came back to the U.S. I hear they are very good, and I would seriously consider buying one. Even though it is no longer British, it's still an MG. If you're a fan of Toyota, Hyundais that are now being made in the U.S., you'd buy it. You're going to have the old school people who will say, oh, it's not an MG, but SAIC bought the marquee. They are entitled to make the brand, and if it's a nice car, I'll drive it, he said. Andy Lincoln, an MG owner in San Diego, has driven several of the SAIC-built MGs in the UK and would consider buying one here. I rented a few MGs in the UK. Some have been quite good. I'm not a fan of the midsize SUV, the CVT, and that was a disappointment, or disappointing. But I'd be more than willing to evaluate their small sedans and coupes, he said. As for Koval, the Florida dealer who grew up with MGs, he says if SAIC decides to return the brand to the U.S. someday, MG is a franchise he'd consider adding. I'd take a look at it, he says. I'd have to. It's in my blood. So yeah, there we go. We have the return of MG. Now, the question is whether it's going to come to the U.S. market. So, what do you guys think? Comment down below. Let's move on to our next story. Tesla co-founder J.B. Straubel is coming back as a board member. Tesla co-founder J.B. Straubel, who left the company a few years ago, is coming back to Tesla as a board member. J.B. Straubel, who was a co-founder at Tesla and the company's longtime chief technology officer until he left in 2019 to launch Redwood Materials, which is helping create a North American battery supply chain. After Elon Musk, Straubel was the most well-known executive at the company and was widely credited for helping give Tesla a technological edge when it came to battery and power electronics. It was a big loss for the company when he decided to leave, but now we learn that he is returning, though in a non-executive role. In its SEC filings for the upcoming annual shareholders meeting, Tesla disclosed that I can't pronounce the gentleman's name, Mizuno, the head of the Japanese government pension investment fund, is not going to seek re-election on the Tesla board, and instead the company's board is nominating Straubel. A Class 1 director will not stand for re-election to the board when his current term ends at the 2023 annual meeting. According to the board, has nominated J.B. Straubel to succeed Mr. Mizuno as a Class 1 director. Mr. Straubel joined Tesla in 2004 and spent 14 years as our chief technology officer, where he played a key role in our battery cell design and engineering and production. Mr. Straubel also led the construction and concept of Gigafactory Nevada and the production ramp of our Model 3. After his departure from Tesla in 2019, Mr. Straubel founded Redwood Materials, Inc., Redwood, which is dedicated to building a circular supply chain to power a sustainable world and accelerate the reduction of fossil fuels. We believe that Mr. Straubel's extensive operational experience in senior leadership at the company, combined with his engineering experience or expertise and passion for clean tech, will make him an important asset in our mission to accelerate the world's transition to sustainable energy. Tesla shareholders will have the opportunity to vote on Straubel joining the board next month during the annual shareholder meeting. Musk has had negative feelings about virtually all other official Tesla co-founders, of which there are five in total, except for Straubel, even after he left the automaker. This is an awesome news. Obviously, it hasn't happened yet, but I think it's a done deal. JB was universally appreciated at Tesla, as far as I'm aware. The same goes for his esteem among the shareholders. It's not a given, but it would be interesting if it also leads to closer ties between Tesla and Redwood, with the latter making incredible progress in deploying battery material processing capabilities in North America. Either way, it is hard to argue against the fact that JB is aligned with Tesla's mission and should be a great addition to the board. So, yeah, there we go. Yeah, comment down below what you think on that one. And from our third story, Tesla workers shared sensitive images recorded by customer cars, passed around or even made into memes, intimate moments, crashes, a child hit on a bike. Tesla Inc. assures its millions of electric car owners that their privacy is and will always be enormously important to us. The camera it builds into vehicles to assist driving, it notes on its website, are designed from the ground up to protect your privacy. But between 2019 and 2022, groups of Tesla employees privately shared via an internal messaging system sometimes highly invasive videos and images recorded by customers' cars' cameras, according to interviews by Reuters with nine former employees. Some of the recordings caught Tesla customers in embarrassing situations. One ex-employee described a video of a man approaching a vehicle completely naked. Yeesh. Also shared crash and road rage incidents. One crash video in 2021 showed a Tesla driving at high speed in a residential area, hitting a child riding a bike. According to another ex-employee, the child flew in one direction, the bike went in another. The videos spread around a Tesla office in San Mateo, California, via private one-on-one chats, like wildfire, the ex-employee said. Other images were more mundane, such as pictures of dogs and funny road signs that employees made into memes by embellishing them with amusing captions or commentary before posting them in a private group chat. While some postings were only shared between two employees, others could be seen by scores of them, according to several ex-employees. Another said, I'm bothered by it because the people who buy the car don't think they know that their privacy is, like, not respected. We could see them doing laundry and really intimate things. We could see their kids. One ex-employee also said that some recordings appear to have been made when the cars were parked and turned off. Several years ago, Tesla would receive video recordings from its vehicles, even when they were off. If owners gave consent, it has since stopped doing so. We could see inside people's garages and their private property, said another former employee. Let's say that Tesla customer had something in their garage that was distinctive. You know, people would post these kinds of things. Tesla didn't respond to detailed questions sent to the company for this report. After 3 years, some employees stumbled upon and shared a video of a unique submersible vehicle parked inside a garage. According to two people who viewed it, nicknamed Wet Nilly, the White Lotus Esprit sub has been featured in the 1977 James Bond film, The Spy Who Loved Me. The vehicle's owner, Tesla chief executive Elon Musk, who had bought it for about $968,000 at auction in 2013. It is not clear whether Musk was aware of the video or whether it had been shared. Musk didn't respond to a request for comment. To report this story, Reuters contacted more than 300 former Tesla employees who had worked at the company over the past 9 years and were involved in developing the self-driving system. More than a dozen agreed to answer questions, all speaking on conditions of anonymity. Reuters was not able to obtain any of the shared videos or images, which ex-employees said they hadn't kept. The news agency also wasn't able to determine if the practice of sharing recordings, which occurred with some parts of Tesla as recently as last year, continued today or widespread. It was. Some former employees contacted said the only sharing they observed was the legitimate work purposes, such as seeking assistance from colleagues or supervisors. And goes on and on and on. So, yeah. Problem about technology and grant giving people permissions to for that type of stuff. Yeah, how do you feel? Would you on some of these systems feel comfortable giving access to these people? Are these companies access? It's the same thing like a phone app and giving them permission to your photos and video and microphone access. Almost the same thing. Who knows what these platforms are doing with that information. Yeah, comment down below. Electrogenic drop-in kit transforms the classic Porsche 911 into an EV. It's a plug-and-play affair, but it's not cheap. British EV conversion specialist Electrogenic has come up with a drop-in kit for a couple of classic Porsche 911 generations, which bolt directly to the car's existing mounts without needing to modify the chassis. The conversion kit can be fitted to either a G body 74 to 89 or a 964 series 89 to 94 Porsche 911, and there's a choice of the two electric motors. The entry level E62 provides 214 horsepower and an impressive 2,360 foot pounds of torque through a pair of new drive shafts, allowing the rear engine coupled to sprint from 0 to 60 miles per hour in 4.9 seconds. The more powerful E62 kit raises the power figure to 332 horsepower and the torque output to 2,876 foot-pounds. But Electrogenic says that this one requires some careful thinking about suspension geometry and setup, as the internal combustion engine variant of the 911 made a maximum of 250 horsepower, so it's quite a big upgrade with a 0-60 mile per hour sprint taking just 3.8 seconds. Other than that, however, the conversion kit seems to be very well thought out, with no other modification required. The 62 kilowatt hour battery pack is split between the front trunk and the rear motor compartment. The electric motor sits where the old gasoline tank used to sit, and all systems electronics are tucked away where the gas tank used to be. The original gauges are used to monitor the system, with the fuel level gauge tracking battery capacity, the oil temperature gauge tracking e-motor temperature, and the oil pressure gauge showing the amount of battery regeneration. The kit adds 220 pounds to the car that originally weighs around 2,865 pounds, which isn't ideal for driving dynamics, but on the upside, the roughly 40 kilowatt hour worth of battery in the frunk leads to a shift in the front of the rear weight balance from 40-60 to 49-51, so nearly perfect in this regards. The driving range is estimated to hover between 180 to 200 miles per hour, and charging can be done at a maximum rate of 50 kilowatt kW, which tops up the battery in 1 hour. Plugged into a 6.6 kW home charger, a full recharge should take about 8 hours. Electrodynamic is working on several shops around the world to handle the conversions, and says that the switch to all electric will cost around $120,000, including the donor 911, so it's not exactly cheap. Alternatively, if you want a much more affordable European converted classic, you can check out the Renault 4 from RFIT. So, yep, there we go. If you wanted to do a conversion, that's one answer. On to our next story. Lightyear goes back in business after restructuring caused by bankruptcy. The Dutch solar car company will continue to develop its Lightyear 2 model. Lightyear, the Dutch solar EV maker that was declared insolvent at the beginning of the year, is getting back to work developing the mass-marketed Lightyear 2 model after successfully going through a restructuring process. The Netherlands-based company is better known for its radical $250,000 Lightyear Zero solar car that briefly made it into production for a couple of weeks at the end of last year before declaring bankruptcy in January of 2023. Now, however, the company says that it has raised enough capital to continue working on its second model, the much more affordable Lightyear 2, which is supposed to have a starting price of around $40,000 in the U.S. As part of the restructuring, the operating company, the parent company, and the solar panel division have been integrated into a newly entity called Lightyear Technologies, which now employs a much smaller workforce of about 100 people compared to the 600 that used to be a part of the internal team. Additionally, Lightyear will sell some of its stock and will auction off some of the Lightyear Zero demo vehicles made before the bankruptcy in a bid to raise additional capital and pay back creditors. To get back on its feet, Lightyear was aided by several investors. The Impact Investor Group raised enough capital to restart, while SHV Della Ickenbosch Holdings, Invest NL, BOM, and Life Off contributed Lightyear's intellectual property to the restructured company. As always, we'd like to know what you think about this, so head on over to the comments section down below and let us know. And for our last story, Walmart to launch coast-to-coast EV fast charging network across thousands of stores. The world's largest retail, Walmart, plans to build its own coast-to-coast EV fast charging network by 2030 to help deliver a convenient and affordable charging experience. Walmart to launch EV fast charging network across stores. As the auto industry accelerates its transition towards fully electric, zero-emission vehicles, businesses are looking to adopt. According to data from Cox Automotive, despite total vehicle sales falling 8% in the U.S. last year, EV sales grew 65%, reaching 5.8% of all new car sales in the U.S. The number of electric vehicles on the road is only projected to continue trending higher, with the U.S. aiming for a 50% EV sales share by 2030. Several initiatives have been passed to accelerate the transition. For one, the Inflation Reduction Act passed last August provides EV buyers with up to $7,500 in tax credits based on where the vehicle materials are sourced from and assembled. In addition, $5 billion in funding is being made available over the next 5 years to establish a nationwide EV charging network in the U.S. through the NEVI Formula Program. Walmart already has nearly 1,300 EV fast charging stations through a partnership with Electrified America installed across over 280 U.S. retail locations. The new initiative will promote a coast-to-coast network across thousands of Walmart and Sam Club stores by 2030, according to the retailer. With a Walmart store or club located within 10 miles of roughly 90% of Americans, the EV fast charging network will help increase access to affordable charging solutions as demand grows. The big box retailer says the plan is the latest in an effort to transform its business and supply chains to become more environmentally conscious and achieve zero emissions by 2040. Walmart is also working to reduce emissions from its fleet by purchasing zero-emission electric vehicles from GM's BridgeDrop and EV startup Canoo. Walmart's business model is perfect for an EV fast charging network. The company already has nearly 5,000 retail locations throughout the U.S. from East Coast to West. In addition, Walmart has expanded its services in the past with refueling centers and repair shops as the number of EVs on the road continue to rise. Walmart is wise in to hope on the trend now. EV drivers can shop in Walmart, and by the time they are done, they will have a charged vehicle ready to go. Yeah, that's a given. So it brings up a question. Is this an opportunity here too? It's like, for privateers, instead of gas franchisees, gas station franchisees, maybe now there's an opportunity for privateering fast charging stations as a way. Lease some land, negotiate your power rates with your local power utility companies, and set up shop for EV charging stations, for all brands or key locations. Yeah, what do you guys think? Comment down below. So, yep, there you have it. Let me know what you guys think about any of these stories today. I found it interesting about, obviously the drop-in get for Porsches. So, I wonder if you... He talked about the $120,000 with including the donor vehicle to do the conversion. What happens if you have your own donor vehicle? I wonder how much the parts would be. Yeah, that might be a fun project to do. May have to get back to you guys on that one. So yeah, comment down below what you guys think. Be sure to like, share, and subscribe. Follow me on all of the social media platforms, and we'll be seeing you.